The Girl with No Past, written by Catherine Croft and read by Lisa Coleman.
Prologue, 2003. Everything is silent, and for a second, I think I must be dead. But then I hear a deafening screech, and I don't know who or where it's come from. I only know I haven't made the noise, because somehow I'm okay. I want to turn my head to check what's left of the wreckage, but I can't move because pain is shooting through my neck, warm blood trickling down my face. There is a strange smell, burnt rubber mixed with petrol, and something far, far worse, the scent of death. I don't need to look around to know that I'm the only person breathing in this car. Panic sets in, crushing my chest, worse than the physical injuries I've sustained. This can't be real. Cracks spread across the windscreen like a gigantic spider's web, and through the maze of lines I can see lights, still and flashing, blue and yellow and red, and faces peering in, their mouths forming circles, trying to make sense of what's happened. The panicky yells and shouts are muffled to me, as if I'm in a bubble, catching only waves of sound. But I know that whoever is out there, they, like I, will remember this moment for the rest of their lives. The steering wheel digs into my ribs, but I can't move. Or perhaps I don't want to, because it's safer in here than out there, having to face whatever is next. I know already what I can expect. Some sympathy because accidents happen, but mostly blame and hatred, because I am the driver, so I must take the responsibility for this. Someone manages to haul my door open, and strong, uniformed arms lift me out and place me onto what must be a stretcher. It's thin and hard, but at least I'm flat now. I close my eyes and wonder how it's possible I haven't died. Chapter 1, 2014. Walking home that evening, something felt wrong. It was nothing I could identify, because everything appeared normal. I was just one of many people heading home from work, or heading somewhere at least. It was bitterly cold, and I'd left my scarf hanging over my banister that morning. But the chill was nothing out of the ordinary. It was to be expected in November. The feeling I couldn't shake off could only be about tomorrow. I hadn't forgotten what day it was. Perhaps the foreboding was anxiety, manifesting as something else. But even that didn't make sense because I'd learnt to deal with it. As I did every year, I refused to think about it until the day arrived, descending on me like a hurricane. I had become skilled at closing that door. Garrett Lane was busy as always, and I blended into the other pedestrians, a part of the London landscape. This was how I always felt walking home, as if I was nothing more than a puppet in a scene, being moved along by someone else. Perhaps I just felt strange because I was later than usual leaving work, and I wasn't good with change to my routine. I needed order and structure, otherwise everything fell apart. I was only late because I'd stayed to help Maria. I couldn't leave her by herself to deal with the order of books that had come in, even if my day at the library had begun 3 hours before hers. Besides, what did I have to go home to? I smiled, remembering Maria recounting details of a new man she'd met while we unpacked and tagged the books. Maria had only been working at the library for a few months, but in that time I'd got to know probably every detail of her life. She was my polar opposite, open and talkative, while I was reserved and kept as much of my life private as possible.